Yes, indeed it does. Hour number three. Thank you so much for being here with us and spending a part of your day. If you are just tuning in, welcome. If you've been here for the previous 2 hours, again, thank you so much here for being with us. If you're listening on the radio.com app, what are you doing?
Look, I just pop and locked to the Bubble Bunch coming back, and then I realized I was wearing my Adidas tracksuit, so I had to put the glasses on.
You realize no one saw that except me and Chris.
Chris saw it. Chris loved it. Chris,
actually, I missed it.
Chris gave me a huge thumbs up. The text line's going crazy.
No, it's not.
Right now. I can see right now.
Dude, you are really annoying me today. That is not Jason Herbert Walker, smart enough to start Amari Cooper despite all of his reservations in fantasy. Ross. Mm. Jay Ross is out in North Dakota for Sac State football.
Stingers up.
I am joined by the excellence of execution, Charles T. Hamilton.
Yes, sir.
I am Damian Barling. Again, thank you so much for being here with us in this final hour. If you want to jump in here on the phone lines, you are more than welcome to. 916-339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Text line has been super solid all day long. 44.
I've been telling you.
44-1140, not necessarily for your tracksuit and sunglasses, but they've been solid. A lot of conversation today about the Raiders getting that season-saving, thrilling Thursday night football victory against the Kansas City Chiefs last night, 31-30 with, what was it, three untimed plays, penalty after penalty. Review after review.
It was a 5-play sequence in the last 8 seconds of the game and three untimed downs.
Absolutely heart-stopping. Yeah. It was, I mean, whether you were a Raider fan, a Chiefs fan, or you had no horse in the race.
The Raiders thought they won it twice. The Chiefs thought they won it twice.
Yep.
And then the Raiders end up winning on the fifth time.
Fantastic.
Perfect.
Absolutely fantastic, man. It was a lot of fun. But the Raiders desperately needed that. They moved to 3-4. Now they got Buffalo next. I think it's in Buffalo.
In Buffalo, yeah. That's the worst part about this losing streak is I think three of them happened at home. So they wasted a lot of home games. But it's Buffalo, Miami, and then New England in New Mexico, which if you want to say New England's a tough one, that's fine. They're not as good as everyone thought they would be. These next two are very winnable. And Buffalo's got a good defense. Tyrod Taylor's playing well. But it's a very winnable game for the Raiders. So
That defense has been really good. That Buffalo defense has been really good.
Yeah.
You can't undermine that.
No, definitely not. But offensively, they run an offense that you would run with a good defense. Minimize turnovers. You're not going to get big yards or big points. But
I'm sorry. Do I need to talk? Do you really want to have a conversation right now about what that simple Buffalo offense can make the Raiders
The Raiders have made a career the last 15 years out of making average quarterbacks look like Hall of Famers. I'm not unaware of that.
The addition of Navarro Bowman was very obvious last night.
Yes.
And now you got a week. Now you got 10 days under your belt to get even a little bit more acquainted with the system. And
the Raiders do have a couple injuries as well, which these 10 days could help. Corey James is one of their starters. Gary and Conley, who we still haven't seen, which is a whole nother mess as far as Reggie McKenzie's concerned. But who knows? Maybe this is the week that he gets on the field. Obi Melifonwu, the second-round pick, he just started practicing last week. I think he has one more week of practice before they can activate him. But there might be some defensive reinforcements coming. Not that that would elevate them to top 10 or anything, but look, good players help.
If last night was a rebirth of the offense, which Derek Carr desperately needed throwing for 400-plus, which Amari Cooper desperately needed 200 yards receiving, basically doubling reception categories, target categories, yards categories that he had on the season last night.
Yeah.
Just perfect.
Yeah.
Now, if they can add the defense to that, they'll be in pretty good shape. We're almost at the halfway mark of the NFL season.
Can I ask you something?
No.
Oh.
You may.
Oh, no. Well, okay. All right.
I just think it's funny when people say, can I ask you a question?
Nope, you cannot.
Like, do you think I'm going to say no?
You should say no and then just start talking about something else.
I considered it.
Is that the first? I hate when announcers every time, Coop, Bruce, something like that, and the fans, Coop. They're not booing, folks. They're saying, Coop. We got it.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks. We got it. No one thought they were booing the home team. after an 80-yard touchdown.
Are you trying to take a shot at Tony Romo? Because if you are, all bets are off.
I like Tony Romo. They're minor
things. Romo is the best at his job already. There is no one even remotely close to better. Not Gruden.
There are minor things that he could clean up, but for the most part, I love it. I love the excitement. I love how he does it, and I love that he is unpolished.
He's perfect.
Okay, cool.
That's my quarterback.
Oh, boy.
Didn't you start the hour or the show saying, like, oh, he messed up, he didn't know the rules about the 10-second runoff?
I did not. Now you're putting words into my mouth. I did not say he messed up. I said he did not reference the 10-second runoff rule. Mm. That's it. I didn't say he messed up. He's perfect.
Oh, you said that. He said, oh, they're going to have 18 seconds here. They're going to have 18 seconds here.
I didn't say he messed up, though. I may have pointed out his mistake, but I didn't say he messed up.
Well, the good thing is Damien had it covered
on Twitter.
He made a mistake.
Nobody knows that stupid rule. Nobody knows it. And the only reason it stayed with my mind is because it happened a couple of weeks ago, and that was the first time I had ever seen it.
I'd seen it.
When?
It's happened before. It happened to the Raiders.
So now you're going to say I've seen it, but you can't reference when you saw it.
Well, can you reference? Please,
the lowdown. This is a smarter audience than you used to. They can smell BS a mile
Raiders
away.
Raiders fans, hit me up on the text line 44-11-40. Hasn't that happened before? The 10-second runoff? I swear I've seen it on a touchdown review. No, not on a touchdown review.
Well, see, of course everybody's seen a ten. You're on timeout. No. Right now, timeout. Got the Friday Five coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Five storylines, players, games you should be paying attention to. Hey, the Sacramento Kings, I knew this. I guess it's just official. I guess we could say this now. The Sacramento Kings have added former Sacramento Monarchs coach Jenny Busick to the coaching staff as an assistant player development coach.
Love it.
A lot of people have asked questions about Nancy Lieberman. Nancy Lieberman's Twitter profile, LinkedIn profile, all still say she's assistant with the Sacramento Kings. I haven't seen Nancy since, I think, the opening game of last season. I assume she's not around. I haven't seen her this year. And I assume that this is the role that, to the role that Jenny Busick is taking over. If you've been to games early over the last, whether it was preseason or earlier this week, excuse me, you probably saw Jenny out there working out a number of the players before the game started. So there's an announcement from the Sacramento Kings. They got the Dallas Mavericks tonight beginning at 5:30. Dave Deuce Mason will be here filling in for Jason Ross, hosting Kings Live at 5 o'clock and game night coming your way at the top of the 4 o'clock hour. We'll get to our Friday Five here in just a heartbeat. Want to mention, I said something about Cam Newton earlier. Cam Newton skipped his mandatory press conference this week. Not only did he skip his mandatory press conference, he skipped his media scrum the day before with no explanation to his coach or the organization, and the NFL is looking into it. The young lady who asked that famous question that got Cam Newton in some hot water a couple of weeks ago had taken a few days away from the team.
Yeah.
She returned on Wednesday.
Mm.
Coincidentally, the first day that Cam
dots being connected.
I'm just presenting facts. That's all I'm doing. She was there Wednesday. Cam didn't show up again. She's just back at work. She's back doing her job. Cam didn't do his conference on Thursday. So if you want to connect those dots, you're welcome to.
Objection.
I'm just presenting
objection. Circumstantial.
I'm just presenting the story as I read it.
Yep. It's weird. It's weird.
Cam pisses me off, man.
Me too.
I want to love Cam so much.
He makes it tough.
He really does.
Yeah.
He really does.
Yeah.
There was that stretch where, you know, he was the best quarterback in the league and he was the MVP. I thought, man, this guy could be, and Jason and I had discussions about it. We've had discussions about it, Chuck. This guy could be the face of the NFL.
Easily.
When Tom Brady hangs him up.
Yep.
Nope. He can't. Yep. And he reminds you. I feel like he reminds you once a year, at least, this role isn't cut out for me,
dude.
Yeah,
you said it. Reminds you, gives you reasons to not believe anymore, to be like, no, you know what, never mind.
Absolutely infuriating. We wrapped up the final hour talking a little bit about the injuries in the NBA. Kawhi Leonard, that quadriceps injury may be a little bit more serious than Greg Popovich or anyone with the San Antonio Spurs are leading us to believe. Chris Paul, the Rockets fear Chris Paul could be out a month. Russell Westbrook notched his first triple-double of the season in the first game of the season for the OK 3 there with Paul George and Carmelo Anthony. John Wall had a fantastic start to his season a couple of nights ago.
Yes,
the Washington Wizards have the Detroit Pistons tonight. And by the way, if you're looking for something to watch before the Kings game comes on, League Pass is free this week. Turn on the Washington Wizards.
Yeah.
Pretty solid broadcast crew right there. John Wall and Russell Westbrook, I think, are the cream of the crop when it comes to point guards in the NBA. And one of the things that I think people have geared toward, have really focused on with Lonzo Ball, who had a terrible debut last night. I'm not going to destroy like Lonzo Ball like so many other talking heads are. Lonzo Ball is on a really bad team. He's not going to rack up assists.
He's also a rookie. I mean, look, he did have a bad night. We can mention how bad he played, and it's a bad night. The idea that people thought he was going to be great, it's on the people for being dumb. Because you expect a guy to come in and be great immediately, and his game isn't cut out for the NBA and the flashiness immediately. Like, that's on you guys. Your expectations were wrong.
And this isn't summer league player.
No!
this is big boy basketball now with starters. You had Blake Griffin out there, who, by the way, we didn't give that enough attention. Blake played really well last night in the first night of this being very clearly his team.
Yeah. And he played against literally the guy voted best point guard defender in the league. Not summer league player. Like you said, I love when you throw player
Get used to that. Patrick Beverley made it a point to make a fool out of Lonzo Ball. And that's not because Lonzo Ball, because Lonzo Ball doesn't say anything. It's because of Lonzo Ball's dad, who won't stop running his mouth. They get their ass handed to him last night, and LeVar Ball is on TV screaming at Stephen A. Smith about how great his son is. It's on that network for continuing to put him on television.
Yep.
But they seem to love him, and fine, so be it. But that has made Lonzo Ball a target. So now you got guys like Patrick Beverley, who he's going to have to face multiple times a year, who are going to go out and attempt to embarrass him.
Oh, yeah.
If Chris Paul is healthy when the Rockets and Lakers play, Chris Paul is going to attempt to do the same thing. Every single person who is defending Lonzo Ball is going to attempt to make a fool out of him. I know you got something there. Remember the Dream Team?
Yeah.
Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan, how they basically drew straws to humiliate Tony Kukoc because he was on his way over to the Chicago Bulls the next year.
Yep.
And they got tired of hearing from their management and from their media how great Tony Kukoc was. So they just clowned him for an entire Olympics. They just made a fool out of him every time that they played. That's what's going to happen to Lonzo Ball, except instead of for like two games, I think it was, there in Barcelona, it's going to happen for 82.
You think it'll last the whole
season? Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
You know why? Because we're one game in and LeVar Ball was already on television.
Yep.
As long as LeVar Ball keeps talking,
As long as they keep putting friggin' cameras in front of his face, that's the other thing.
As annoying
as he is, I blame the other people who put him on TV. But anyways, what I was going to reference is they play the Suns tonight. And look, that's one of the less juicy ones. But you think Devin Booker doesn't want to go at him?
I'm sure Devin Booker doesn't say,
I've been here for 2 years.
They're coming,
I scored 70 points in a game. You haven't scored 70 points in your career yet.
They're coming off a 48-point home loss.
Mm. Okay.
They might be a smidge bit motivated. I don't know.
Lightweight. And then also the one I'm looking at. So then they play the Pelicans, whatever. Rondo, maybe Drew Holiday, or maybe everyone. Maybe every single player. It doesn't just have to be guards. We saw Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons talk about it this summer during summer league. Joel Embiid said like dunk him so hard that his dad, breaks his leg or something. Like, they do not like this at all. And the one I'm looking forward to this Wednesday, 7:30, Wizards at Lakers. John Wall is going to destroy Lonzo Ball and destroy the Lakers, and I'm going to love every second of it. I'm a big John Wall fan.
John Wall and Russell Westbrook are like this, the poster childs for this for this next evolution of point guards. Like, Lonzo Ball can be, without the defense, at least that we're aware of yet, is closer to the Chris Paul, facilitate, see everything. Chris Paul, I think, can shoot better than Lonzo Ball can, but John Wall is the shoot first but still distribute point guard. Russell Westbrook is the shoot first, distribute whenever the hell I want to type point guard, and it seems there's a
distribute
whole lot more.
Distribute when I have 8 assists and need 2 more. The triple double.
I'll take a shot at my dude today, man.
Shots.
He had a triple double last night. And I'm wondering, watching De'Aaron Fox and his ability to get to the basket.
Oh man.
When the Sacramento Kings start developing shooters and he can get to the basket and suddenly there's two guys elevating on him and there's a guy open at each wing, that dude's gonna start racking up a monumental amount of assists.
Well, no, not just that. Wait until he develops a jump shot.
Oh, yeah, right.
I mean, that's the other thing. I'm a big fan of De'Aaron Fox. Watching him on Wednesday, I love it, man. I'm tuned in to De'Aaron Fox every single game. And the funniest part, too, I was telling you, I had friends watching the Kings who normally wouldn't because they want to see De'Aaron Fox, and they're blown away by him, too. I agree with you. I think he is that same in that same mold of a John Wall, Russell Westbrook, because the point guard position has changed. The full-time facilitator, that's not really a thing anymore.
Right.
That's Rajon Rondo, who, you know.
You see what he signs for.
Exactly.
Right, you see what he signs for.
Might not even have a spot in the league, really. Besides teams needing a point guard, just someone to fill in.
Or they want to appease their... Never mind.
Well, Anthony Davis is great friends with them, so I think that was probably
I'm sure that's what it was.
That's what it was. But no, I agree with you, man. I think De'Aaron Fox is definitely that next. The mold.
He's following in that mold. Following in that mold of what I think will be what will wind up being the new traditional point guard in the NBA. Let's get into the Friday Five here. Five storylines, players, and games you should be paying attention to as we head into the weekend. And, Chuck, since we're talking basketball, let's start with tonight. I know you got something on the Kings in Dallas. We'll get to that in just a heartbeat. I'll give you two other games to pay attention to in addition to the Sacramento Kings and Dallas Mavericks, which coverage begins here at 5:30, Kings Live at 5 o'clock. It's LeBron and the Greek Freak tonight. It's the Cavs and the Bucks, and I know it's early, and you can, you know, there was a lot of talk about Giannis Antetokounmpo this offseason. This kid, 37, 13, and 13, I think, were his totals coming out of that game one. This kid is so good. We talked about the next evolution of point guards in the NBA. Giannis Antetokounmpo is the next evolution of players in the NBA. Like, he's that good, and to watch him, even though it's early, going up against LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight, I'm excited for that one.
If he develops a jumper, it's over for the entire league, like literally.
Yeah, I mean, he's so good and so fluid, and his game has evolved so much from rookie to now.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty extraordinary.
It's funny. I actually glossed over that game. I don't know why that matchup didn't jump out in my head, but you nailed it. I mean, the Greek freaking LeBron, and you think LeBron isn't hyped up about this every time he goes up against him?
Course.
LeBron will never back down, and even irrationally, where it's like, yeah, I'm still LeBron. I got the rings. Why do I care about this kid? No, he's going to go at his head.
There's another one to watch tonight, too. I think you'll be into this one. The 0-2 Boston Celtics take on the currently in process Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah.
There's a lot of young star power in that game. Boston, I don't blame Boston for losing that home opener at all.
No.
You know, coming off of the emotional loss to Cleveland, not just, you know, the emotions of Gordon Hayward, but, you know, Jason brought up a great point yesterday in that the Boston seemed to rebound in that game and move forward against Cleveland. And then I think, you know, they had to jump on a plane, get home for their home opener. You had the emotional message from Gordon Hayward on the big screen before the game started, and it was kind of like, okay, what's happening now? It's just kind of set in. They've had a few days to regroup. I expect them to be significantly better tonight in Philadelphia. But you mentioned Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, those guys, they're fun to watch. And that game that they opened up.
Simmons is nice,
with
man.
The watch. Oh, my good Simmons rookie of the year right
nice.
There, man.
You're
not only
right.
Not only is Ben Simmons rookie of the year, man, that kid's going to be an all-star this year. And he may mess around and be an all-star starter.
Yeah, in that's the East, how good it's very likely, man.
That's how good I think he is. And I wouldn't be shocked if Philadelphia beat them tonight and Boston started 0-3.
I wouldn't either, because one of the problems with Boston is in getting Hayward and Kyrie, they gave up a lot of their depth. And as terrible as the Hayward injury is, now you lost your big piece.
Yeah.
And Kyrie can do some great things. He almost brought them back against the Cavs, almost won that game, you know, like single-handedly.
And he's in a tough spot because now he's trying to take Isaiah Thomas's position as that fourth quarter guy. Yeah. And, Isaiah Thomas led the league in fourth quarter points last year. And to try to put Kyrie now in that position where he's never had to do that, you know, I take that back. He did it early in his career where he was just taking
when they were winning 20 games a year.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's not going to cut it in Boston. Like, you're expected to win 50 to 60 games this year.
You didn't mention the T.J. McConnell-Kyrie Irving matchup. I'm a little...
I did not mention that.
Yeah, you didn't.
Thank
glossed
you.
Over that one.
Thank you for bringing
that. Be sure to lock in on that.
Thank you.
My first one... Well, I guess it's both of them, really, is the Kings this weekend, both games. I think tonight is going to be great because I think it's a good matchup as far as the team's talent and where both teams are at. I think the level of play is similar. Both teams are young. trying to figure it out a little bit. You know, both have a 40-year-old and Dirk and VC and all that stuff. And I'm excited to watch Dennis Smith Jr. As I said, he's my pick for Rookie of the Year. And the Kings right now are just exciting to watch. De'Aaron Fox will get me to tune in every single time. But then the other game is tomorrow against the Nuggets, tomorrow evening, because that's a game where it's what do we have against a really good team? Or a team that we think is supposed to be really good, because that's another squad that is on the rise. They added Paul Millsap. Jokic is one of the most intriguing big men in the league, even though it's all offensive, very little defense on his end. But still, it's two good games. One they match up well against, and then the other one, let's test ourselves against a better team. So that's my first one for Friday Five. I'm in on both those.
Okay, there you go. I'll stick with basketball one more time, but this one's coming up on Sunday. The T-Wolves and Thunder. Minnesota, they had probably the most, you know, we talked about how, it was game one, right? Why does Chris Paul need to play in game one? You got 81 more. We talked about teams wanting to make impressions. Houston wanted to make an impression. Oklahoma City, I believe yesterday, especially against Carmelo Anthony's former team in New York, they wanted to make an impression. Minnesota wanted to make an impression too, but they probably had the worst matchup possible in that they were playing, even though Kawhi Leonard wasn't there, they were playing the San Antonio Spurs. This is intriguing for a number of reasons because the Timberwolves are a team for like the second or third straight year. Everyone is expecting to be really sexy, really fun. All right. Let's go, Tibbs.
They're doing it, yeah.
Jimmy Butler didn't have the most stellar of T-Wolves debuts. Andrew Wiggins, very good, earning every dollar of that contract extension that he got. So that's my last basketball game for the weekend. You know, in addition to the Kings games, the ones we mentioned tonight, that Wolves Thunder I think is pretty interesting.
Me too. That's the last one I had on mine. I just think the idea of two teams trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Two teams. I mean, we talked about OKC. They look good in their first game. As we mentioned, it's against the Knicks. Minnesota, another team trying to figure it out, not just because they're young, but because they added Taj Gibson, Jimmy Butler. I don't know why I blanked on the main guy. But two teams trying to figure it out, and it's a good matchup, especially considering these are two. I'd actually put OKC way above Minnesota.
Oh, sure.
But a playoff team against another playoff team, presume.
They're trying to, you presented it as two teams trying to figure things out. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma City, great start.
Yeah.
But they weren't tested yesterday.
No.
The more that they get tested, I think Minnesota is better than New York.
Mm-hmm.
And then it actually sets up pretty nicely for Oklahoma City in the sense that so they're going to be elevated a little bit this week with that game. And then they'll start to, you know, the quality of their opponent starts to escalate.
Yeah.
It's like now you're coming across to Houston.
Yep.
Now you're coming across Golden State, Cleveland, some of those Eastern Conference teams. I think really the highlight of the weekend – that may be my weekend because I have no life and I'm quite the boring individual. Might be tomorrow. Penn State and Michigan.
Okay.
Two of the best defenses in the entire league. Check this out. Penn State right now is atop the FBS in scoring defense, while Michigan is number one in total defense.
You're all in on this 5-3 game?
I don't think it's going to be 5-3 because of Saquon Barkley.
Okay.
That dude right now, like, I look, you can
he's
talk,
a monster.
You could talk to me about any quarterback you want to. I'm watching Saquon Barkley the same way that I watched Christian McCaffrey a couple of years ago.
Yep.
And how Christian McCaffrey didn't end up with the Heisman Trophy that year is pretty freaking incredible. You can talk about Sam Darnold. You could talk about whoever you want to. Saquon Barkley, if you're not watching Penn State and Michigan, in my eyes, you're not watching the front runner for the Heisman Trophy. This kid is absolutely incredible. And remember, Michigan last year destroyed Penn State 49-10. This game, Happy Valley. Penn State since then, by the way, has won 9 straight. They're only they won 9 straight. They lost one. They're 15-1 since that game, with the only loss being that freaky Rose Bowl where they lost to USC 52-49.
Yeah.
I love this Penn State team far more than I should. They are the class of the Big Ten, and I don't think it's even close.
You mentioned USC and Sam Darnold. I am so proud of myself for not buying into USC this year. Honestly, it's the first time I've been able to say, nope, not buying it. Hype, not going to do it.
Yeah.
I feel good about that.
Okay.
I just wanted to put that out there.
There you go.
Cause we've mentioned it before. I just had to throw that out there.
That's all right.
That I was right. That's the only thing we remember, the things we got right.
No one cares.
Charles
you'll
T.
Learn,
Hamilton.
You'll learn the longer you're in this business, no one will care when you're right.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. They'll point out when you're wrong, but the best, what everyone will remember is when you talk about like family matters.
Yeah. Oh man.
Or when you admit in front of a radio audience that you drink flavored vodka.
Reginald, who did that?
That's none of your concern. If you weren't listening that day, then you don't
vanilla
know.
Vanilla or what? What do we got?
We'll be right back. We'll wrap this party up here. We got more to talk about.
I got some Family Matters stuff when we come back.
We got more Friday Five next. We always give Chris a hard time, but I think we got to show him a little bit of love. Chris is literally running from one side of the building to the other to make sure that the Kings game gets on tonight without any problems.
Yeah.
Make sure that the Grant Napier show gets on tonight without any problems. Yeah. He's running all over the place, leaving the studio, trying to get stuff done. You're doing a hell of a job, Chris.
Get my steps in.
There you go. There you go. It's not going unnoticed, my man. You're doing a hell of a job.
Get that 10,000, no problem today.
Let's continue with our Friday Five, man, and wrap some of these up, man, because it's a great sports weekend. We already touched on the T-Wolves and Thunder, some marquee basketball games. That's on Sunday. Obviously, you got the Kings and the Nuggets tomorrow. We touched on the Kings and the Mavericks and the players to watch in that one. The Greek Freak and LeBron is tonight. Boston and Philly is tonight. Penn State and Michigan, I think, for me, that's probably the highlight of the weekend. Again, take that for what it's worth. I have no life and nothing else to do, so I'm looking forward to a college football game.
Tennessee-Alabama. I noticed that one. I was going to make some mean jokes about it. I'm not even – you know what? I'm not going to touch it.
I don't even care anymore.
Right.
Like Tennessee is – it used to be such an elite athletic program.
Oh, man.
And football, basketball. Men's basketball was good.
Mm-hmm.
It was fine. Women's basketball was fantastic.
They at least had a coach you could name.
It's all falling off.
Yeah, it's.
I know Butch Jones' name.
No, I mean
only
basketball.
Always put fire.
Yeah.
Before it.
That's your guy.
I don't know who the men's basketball coach is.
I don't either.
That's a damn shame. I can't think of who it is.
Brian. Nope. Not even try. Not
what
even
else?
Try.
What else you got?
I got
that game is going to be ugly. By
the way. No, it's
that's
going to
be awful.
Yeah, I was going to make some bad jokes about it, but you know,
the bad joke is
it's
the game.
Tennessee.
Yeah, the bad the bad joke is the team in orange that's going to be out there.
I got Jameis Winston and Tyrod Taylor, two quarterbacks who I'm very interested in, just what they're going to become. I know Tyrod's, I think 28, Jameis is 23, but they've both started a similar amount of games. Both kind of similar players. I think we expect more from Jameis. I don't know if we're ever going to get it. And Tyrod has, for most people, way overachieved. Not me personally. I always thought if you gave him a chance, he'd be able to do at least this.
Yeah.
And Bucks are 2-3, Bills are 3-2, and we're Raiders are playing the Bills next week, so I'm interested to watch them. And just also two young quarterbacks who, like, I mean, if you look at the Jacksonville Jaguars and their defense and the dumpster fire that they run out there at quarterback every week, a Tyrod Taylor could elevate the Jacksonville Jaguars to a playoff team.
Yeah.
But they don't have that.
No.
Another certain quarterback might be able to elevate him to a playoff team.
Don't you dare.
You don't know who I'm talking about. You don't know who I'm talking about.
No clue.
Tyler Wilson's still out there.
Randall Cunningham.
Yeah. Oh, Randall, my man. So Bucks, Bills, Tyrod Taylor, and Jameis Winston. I'm in on that for sure.
Here is a hot take for you. This coming from the text line 44-1140. Jay Cutler will throw for over 300 yards, at least two touchdowns, no interceptions. The Dolphins are going to rout the Jets.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure.
I say no. That's not happening.
Yeah.
I got the Jets winning that game. And if Jay Cutler throws for 300 yards at all this year, I would be stunned. Marquee football game is the alleged, don't tell the Patriots, this Super Bowl rematch with the Patriots and the Falcons. The Falcons blew a lead last week. They blew a famous lead against the New England Patriots in February. They've been known to blow big leads.
Huh.
Why? Well,
they don't run the ball?
That's it. They still pass on 60% of their plays. Friendly reminder here from the folks at the Lowdown.
Yep.
They gave Devontae Freeman a truck full of money to not run the ball.
No.
They gave Devontae Freeman a truck full of money to not do anything to help out Matt Ryan.
Nope.
Tevin Coleman's still there also.
Oh.
So you got two running backs.
So they you're telling me they have the best running back duo in the league.
And you don't use them.
Oh. Well, no, I get it. No, it's
it doesn't feel like either of these teams are right. Let's point that out, by the way, too.
Yeah, for sure.
The Falcons, Jason has made the point a couple of times, the Falcons could easily be 1-4. The Jordan Howard drop touchdown in week one where that would have ended that game. They would have lost to the Bears. And then the now famous 10-second runoff at the end of the Lions game.
Yep.
They beat the Packers, which, okay, fine. But
Julio's not
you
himself,
got,
really.
You got Tom. Yeah. Well, he hasn't been in the end zone yet this year.
Uh-uh.
And then you got Tom Brady dealing with his shoulder.
Yep.
And you have that Patriots defense dealing with not being particularly good.
Injuries, too.
For 5 weeks, the Patriots were the worst defense in the league.
Yeah.
Now, for the last two, I think they're the second-to-worst defense in the entire league. So neither one of these teams are right yet.
No.
And I don't know who needs it more to kind of snap themselves into it.
Yeah.
But the worst possible thing that could happen is the Falcons take a lead into halftime. I take that back. The worst possible thing that could happen is the Falcons take a sizable lead
massively
into halftime, and it slowly starts to disintegrate there in the third quarter, heading into the fourth,
and they
because
keep passing the ball.
Twitter will be on fire. Kyle Shanahan's not there anymore.
Yeah,
who are you
going
to blame if things go wrong? So I know a lot of eyes, will be on that Sunday night matchup there.
I'm with you. I'll never get over the fact that they don't run the ball or that they didn't run the ball in that Super Bowl, but whatever. That's not my problem. It's Atlanta's problem.
Indeed.
Damien, I think you're going to like this.
Which means I'm not.
I think you are going to love this. If I know Damien Barling, he's going to like this.
What do you got?
Niners getting that first win this week. I may have predicted it for 4 weeks in a row. I was going to lean against it, but you know what? I'm leaning into it. Every single week until they get it, Niners getting that first win against the Cowboys. Zeke suspended, not suspended, who knows?
He's not.
Niners getting the dub. First dub of the year against the Cowboys. Jerry Jones. We'll get some funny Jerry Jones shots. I'm all about it.
Breaking news. Ezekiel Elliott is not suspended for this game.
Oh.
He's not suspended for the Washington game.
But after that?
We don't know yet.
Jeez.
I'll respond to that in a minute. Okay. Darren, thanks for the call, man. What's happening?
Hey, you know, guys, we don't talk a little college football, but we're talking about Tennessee and their program. What a disaster. What do you guys think of Syracuse, Dino Babers, you know? Or Les Miles coming back to SEC.
Oh, wow. Hey, thanks, Darren. I appreciate that call. Syracuse call is interesting. Les Miles, I haven't thought about that name in a while. I was trying to think, when you fire Butch, what are you going to do?
Exactly. That's the biggest part.
And here's my question for Les. Does Tennessee's not appealing anymore?
No.
It was. It's not now.
Yeah.
Would Les Miles even want that job?
I doubt it. He
It's an SEC job.
Yeah.
And, you know,
he might look at himself a little higher than a lot of us do, though.
So what's he waiting for then? Like, is Auburn a better job than Tennessee?
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah,
I
absolutely. Yeah, I don't even know why. Maybe I was trying to be nice to you, but yeah, absolutely.
I can't think of
Saban to go pro or something.
Yeah, I can't think of. Oh, if Saban's going pro, Les Miles isn't getting the
Alabama
job.
Do you think he thinks that?
Yes.
Okay.
I do think he thinks that. thanks for that call, Darren, man. We appreciate it. If you want to jump in here the final 20 minutes, you're more than welcome to 44-1140 is the text line. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140 is the phone lines. I said on Monday I was nervous about this 49ers-Cowboys game. I've pulled back a little bit. Like, I thought for certain Monday morning that the 49ers were going to beat the Cowboys. I'm not as certain as I was on Monday.
Okay.
I still don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
I like the way the 49ers
still
are playing.
Nervous. Yeah.
I'm not sure. This was my upset pick. I feel like there are two teams that don't have wins.
Mm-hmm.
The 49ers and the Browns.
Yeah.
I don't believe both. The Browns aren't winning. I don't know if the Browns are ever going to win in my lifetime.
Probably not. That's a good bet. We should take that bet.
We should.
Yeah.
If you're telling me right now 49ers are winning, I'll believe you.
I'll go with it.
I'll just go with your expertise.
Yeah.
I'll believe you.
I am telling you.
There's too much crap around. Jerry, Zeke, anthems, suspensions,
right?
Fifth District Court rulings, temporary restraining orders. All this crap surrounding the Dallas Cowboys and their bye weeks. Their players are angry with the owners.
Mm-hmm.
Players are angry with the coaches because the coach is doing what the owner told him to do. And it's like, man, this is so played out. And I feel like this is like Jerry loves this nonsense.
Yeah.
Because it keeps us talking about it.
Exactly. And what do the Niners have besides they've just been losing? C.J. Beathard's getting his first start. They're going to be motivated. This is the kind of thing that might.
C.J. Beathard against that secondary.
Oof.
I told you, the Cowboys and the Raiders are like that Spider-Man meme where the two Spider-Mans are staring at each
Pointing
other.
Pointing at each other, yeah.
Bad secondaries, bad defenses, good enough offenses for the Raiders. Their offense caught fire yesterday. Yeah. Cowboys are going to have to do the same thing. We'll predict the rest of the week 7 games and wrap up next.
Call up Earl on the car phone for sure.
You think Earl is E-40?
Oh, absolutely.
You think that's the Earl you're
referring
to?
Yeah, that's Charles Belafonte, no question.
Zach Randolph's going to play tonight.
Who? Z-Bo!
Bogdanovich is not.
Bogey.
But Zach Randolph is good to go for your Sacramento Kings tonight. They'll be in Dallas. They are in Dallas to take on the Mavericks. Coverage of that game begins at 5:30. Kings Live with Dave Deuce Mason at 5 o'clock. Game night coming up at 4. Let's touch on a couple of these NFL games. You mentioned earlier. I think you mentioned the Bucks and the Bills. Did you pick a winner in that one? The Bucks need a win, man. We expected more from them.
Yeah, I did not pick a winner. I'll go Bucks.
It's in Buffalo.
Yeah.
It's in Buffalo. I'm going Buffalo, man. I'm going Buffalo.
I'll go Bucks just because they need it more. And,
okay.
I feel like Buffalo will regress to the mean a little bit.
Okay, Mitch better have my money.
Hello.
Mitchell Trubisky, the Bears host the Carolina Panthers.
Man, it's the Panthers.
Yeah, I think
so
too.
The Bears are really bad.
The Browns stay winless. They're hosting the Tennessee Titans
really?
This week.
Really? No, I'm just kidding.
Hot take.
Come on.
The Brent Hundley era begins in Green Bay with Drew Brees and the Saints coming to town.
Like that. I love that, man. I wish they still play. That one's great. Drew Brees. You know what? Just for that, Brees, Saints. Drew Brees. That's
the sole reason.
That's
the sole reason that stupid ESPN commercial is why you're picking Drew Brees.
No, look,
or why you're picking the Saints.
It's not Drew Brees of why I'm picking the Saints. It's Drew Brees.
Oh yeah. Jaguars and Colts in Indianapolis.
Oh boy,
Jacoby Brissett's starting to find his rhythm.
He is. Look, man, I agree with you. You were higher on him than I was. The guy's a starter.
He's going to be the quarterback the rest of the year.
He should be. Sit Andrew out, and then look.
It sounds like Andrew Luck isn't playing this year. So,
tough
Jaguars defense.
A trade piece, or you have a great backup. Yeah, tough Jags defense. I'll go the Jags just because of that defense.
I think so, too. Cardinals at Rams. My allegedly Los Angeles Rams.
No,
who you like there?
They're mine.
Okay,
they're
you can mine. Have them. Who you got? Adrian Peterson had 100-plus last week. Can he do it again?
Check this out.
The old guys were phenomenal.
This hashtag going golf. I've never said this before. It's really clever.
You say that
hashtag
every time.
Going, never just came up with it. Hashtag going golf. G-O-I-N, capital G-O-F-F. Jared Goff, Rams.
I got the
Jets. I just came up with that.
No, you didn't. I got the Jets over the Dolphins in Miami.
Yeah.
I don't. I will never
pick
the
Jay
Dolphins.
I'll never pick Jay Cutler.
Never. The Ravens at the Vikings. I hate the Ravens, so I'm picking the Vikings.
I'll go Vikings because, man, they haven't missed a step for some reason. What's his name? Case Keenum?
They've been better.
Like, yeah, that's crazy.
They've been better.
Vikings. I'm Vikings, yeah.
They've been better with Case Keenum. Jared McKinnon has done really well for them.
That is crazy.
We both kind of think the 49ers are going to beat the Cowboys.
Oh, I'm take that to the bank.
Good news for Raider fans. Someone's got to lose here. The Broncos and the Chargers in Los Angeles.
Broncos.
Broncos coming off that loss to the previously winless New York Giants.
Mm.
I got to think the Broncos get back on.
I'll go Chargers playing in L.A. and here's
LA.
Homerism.
Big home field advantage.
Homerism.
There.
It's better for the Raiders if the Chargers win. So there you go.
Seahawks at Giants in New York.
Seahawks.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, anything else need to be said? Seahawks. Period.
Bengals and Steelers. I think this is more interesting than it sounds.
It is. Bengals started bad. I said it a couple weeks ago, just like I said with, I forget who I even said it about just now, but regression to the mean. I think they're going to start playing more like an average team, not terrible like they started. So why not Bengals? I'll do it.
I don't think that's a stretch. The Bengals got really hot against Cleveland. They played well against a really, really good Buffalo defense, against the top six Buffalo defense. Mm-hmm. And the Steelers, if the Steelers lost, would you really be? If the Steelers
They're
lose
inconsistent.
Any game. Yeah, exactly.
They're just inconsistent. They can go smash Kansas City for their first loss of the year and then lose to a team like Cincinnati or some random squad. I know they have a couple bad losses already. So, no, I would not be surprised one bit.
The big game we talked about a few minutes ago, I think the Falcons need to beat the Patriots just from a mental standpoint, mm-hmm. not even from a record standpoint. They need to beat the Patriots in Foxborough, so I'm going to pick them to do
I pick them, and I also think they have the edge. The Patriots are missing at least three defenders. I know Stephon Gilmore's out, which how good he is questionable anyways, but he's one of their starting corners. So
Matt Ryan, I got
Falcons too.
Matt Ryan, and if they choose to utilize the guy they gave a bunch of money to in Devontae Freeman, they could eat up that New England Patriot defense.
Oh, easily.
It's just a question of will they?
Yeah, yeah.
Will the play calling allow them to do it? I think my favorite game of the week is actually on the Monday night game.
Yep, I was going to have this in Friday 5, but it's on Monday.
It's on Monday. We could touch on it here for second. You won't be here on Monday. I am irrationally high on the Philadelphia Eagles. I love them. This game is in Philly. I'm not backing away from him.
Carson Wentz playing like an MVP. I know Alex Smith has gotten the pub, but Carson Wentz is having just as good a year as any other quarterback in the league. I'm really interested to watch because it'll be my first full game of getting to watch Carson Wentz. Like, I've seen red zone clips and all that mm-hmm. stuff, but to really get to see him is going to be interesting. I mean, are we there yet with him and the Eagles? I just don't know, but
I love him. I love this team.
Yeah, I'll have to do it. Yeah.
I love this Eagles. Team. Yeah.
Redskins, I mean, who knows? Maybe they have a game like they had against the Raiders where, you know, the other team just doesn't show up, but I can't see that with the Eagles. And I'm with you. I like a lot of the pieces they have defensively also. I'm a huge Michael Kendricks fan.
So that covers week 7 of the NFL. Obviously, the Raiders won last night 31-30.
Woo!
We brought to you the news that the Rockets are fearing they're going to be without Chris Paul for the next month. It looks like he is going to be out. Again, this is just being reported through a number of different sources that the Rockets now fully expect him to be out up to 4 weeks with this injury.
DNP CP3.
The Rockets have reached out to...
Please say something funny. Please.
I paused because I was trying to figure out if this was funny or not.
Please.
Jameer Nelson.
No, that's not. He's out there and he would.
It would have been funny if I said Colin Kaepernick. Oh, that's what I should have said. Damn it. The joke came 2 seconds too late. Yeah. Sorry. The Rockets reached out to Jameer Nelson to potentially fill that.
It makes sense. He's a valid free agent out there for
it's
teams.
A body. Yeah. Like it, because the fact is, James Harden will just do what he did last year and mm-hmm. be the point guard.
Yeah, exactly. And which he was doing anyways during that game as well.
Look, man, if they're really – let the 4 weeks turn into six. Like, the Rockets are going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Let them –
No, it's similar to the Spurs as far right. as I'm concerned. You let this guy heal, and then once he's healed, let him heal more. And then you bring him back, and they'll be just fine.
Yeah, work him in. Like,
he'll get there eventually.
It'll be – like, we'll see what the Rockets wind up doing, but this is a story that's developed. Remember, if you were with us on Wednesday when Sam Amick joined us, he noted that – Chris Paul wouldn't have played in that night one game if it wasn't opening night and it wasn't against the Golden State Warriors. Great job as always, Chuck. Always a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you for having me,
man. Thank you to our producer, Chris Vallad. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for the calls. Thank you for the text. Another fantastic week. If you missed anything this week you want to get caught up on, whether it's Sam Amick, whether it's Nate Lundy, whether it's any of the other interviews we had, subscribe to the Lowdown Podcast on iTunes or whatever your favorite podcast platform is. Never miss a beat. We got Kings basketball coming up at 5:30. Kings Live coming up at 5 o'clock. The Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie is next.